All right, we'll go ahead and have Brother Chad come preach for us tonight.
All right. Thank you. All right. I do have an outline up here. Guys, praise the Lord. I hadn't had a seizure in a couple weeks. So, thank the Lord. But if I do fall out, I got an outline up here. Just come on and finish. All right, I'll be all right. Look in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 3 tonight. Revelation chapter 3. I don't know, many of you weren't here on Wednesday night. You missed a great service. It was. I enjoyed Wednesday night. I don't just say that because I consider him my friend. I don't say that because I consider just somebody I grew up with. But I love Sunday night, and I couldn't wait for a Sunday or a Wednesday night, and I couldn't wait for Sunday morning because I didn't know who was preaching. I really didn't. I thought Brother Ray was preaching on Wednesday night. But Sunday morning, I was excited. I was ready. I was just looking forward to what was going to happen, what was going on. I'm just scared because I don't know, and I get nervous up here. But, I'm excited for the Lord giving me the opportunity to stand up here tonight. And I ask that you pray for me while I'm up here. We're going to pray before we get started. But let's do that right now. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you, we love you, Lord, tonight, and we thank you for your grace. We thank you for how good you are to us. And we ask, Lord, right now, I ask that there be nothing in my heart that has anything to do with me, but all to do with you tonight. I pray that you'd work. I pray for your power, and I pray for your grace as I stand up here. And, Lord, I ask for your power. Holy Spirit, I ask that you work in the message I preach, and I know it's from you, and I ask that you would use it to work in hearts tonight. And I pray if there be anybody here that's not 100% notice, Lord, what I said, and I pray that these people would be listening to, that if they're not 100% for sure that heaven's going to be their home tonight, that they would make sure that more than anything that they've ever done in their life, that they'd make for sure that December the 1st, 2013, that they know, they found out that day that Jesus Christ was their Savior and that nothing was going to ever take that away from them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Revelation chapter 3, I'm going to start reading in verse 19. It says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Tonight, Lord, or folks, I ask that you look at verse 19. "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent." Tonight, I'm going to preach about the word repentance, or the root word repent. I'm going to come to you tonight about that, and I'm going to come to you with the. I ask that your hearts be open tonight. A lot of times we don't hear that word anymore. We don't hear that word. A lot of churches, a lot of people, are scared to use that word. They're scared of the meaning of that word. And the meaning of that word, just Webster's dictionary has a spiritual meaning in it. But folks, tonight, how many times can we say, "I've heard a message on repentance. I've heard a message on repenting or turning back." The word repent means to make a complete 180-degree turn. Just to go the opposite way. The word repent is a lifestyle, and not just anybody can use that word in their life. You know, unless you're saved tonight, you can't use that word in your life. You can't have that word. That is a word that has absolutely nothing to do with you right now. And as I go and as I keep on preaching, you'll find out some facts and about the doctrine that our church holds in that word for repentance. But you're also going to find out some things in your life that you might not have knew about that word, that you might not knew about that application in your life. That word, the word repentance, or the word repent, is a verb. It's an action that we do in our lives as Christians. And tonight, folks, if you're not 100% for sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior, I beg you tonight, if I could ask anything of you, if you're sitting there and you've been, I don't care if you've been sitting in your in that seat for 50 years, I don't care how long you've been sitting there. But tonight, I would beg of you, and I let you know tonight, Jesus Christ is offering you an opportunity tonight to be saved. And before you walk out of here tonight, I want you to know, I want everybody in this building to know, to be able to say, I know Jesus Christ is my Savior tonight. I know that. And there's nothing that's ever going to change that. There's nothing that's ever going to turn that away, and there's nothing that's ever going to happen. But I know that on December 1st, 2013, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. So, the word I'm going to talk about, and you know, I've had this thought for the longest time, is about repentance and about repenting, about turning, and about moving our lives around. And a lot of times, We've heard that word so much. We've heard the use of that word, but we don't know the application in our life of what that word can do for us and what that word is about our lives. It's because used to, I know, as stories I've heard about old-time revivals, it had changed before I was ever born or that I could ever remember. But I've heard stories about old-time revivals that they'd have. As a kid, I remember my grandmother telling me about old-time revivals and people that they would get in lines at altars. There would be six or eight, just tons of churches there and tons of people in these auditoriums in downtown Fort Worth, uptown Fort Worth, all over the place. I remember my grandmother telling me about different revivals and different churches getting together to have these revivals, and that there would be lines of people at the altars just waiting to get up just to say, I repent of this, or I repent of that. I turn my life back. I give my life to God. I'm not going to do this. I'm giving God this tonight. I'm telling God, I'm asking God's forgiveness, and I'm asking my church's forgiveness tonight. You know, there would be people up there in lines waiting at these altars just for an opportunity to come up there and repent, to change their lives because they're giving their heart over to God. And so many times we lose that in our minds, we lose that in our hearts, and we lose that in our lifestyles that we live. I know the lifestyles that we have and the things that are going on so much in our lives are constantly, it's going here, it's going there, it's doing this and it's doing that. And this is going to get on my nerves. All right. But our lives go so fast and our lives are moving so fast that we leave God out. We leave God out of our lives. And you know, we're never going to get anywhere. As you're never going to get anywhere as a Christian. I'm never going to get anywhere as a member of this church. And neither are you. Our church isn't going to get anywhere because we don't allow God to have full control of it. And we've got to do that tonight, folks. We've got to give ourselves up to God. We've got to repent from what the Spirit of God's telling you right now in your heart that you need to repent from. And that repentance, to you, you're saying, God, I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't stand up there and do that in front of the church, or I can't do that. I can't make that 180-degree turn and promise God this. I heard a message this morning on making a vow. And it's better just not to make a vow than it is to make a vow and not keep it. And you know, that was great this morning. That's the truth. That's the will of God, is that we make vows and that we keep them. It's God's will that the Spirit of God's talking to you tonight and telling you, you need to get that out of your life. You need to forget all that. You need to change. And tonight, everything's going to be done. Because we get in our minds, and folks, it's believe me, it's not just you, it's everybody. It's anybody that's saved tonight. We get this view in our mind that we go down to the altar, we pray, we ask God to forgive us for whatever we've done or for whatever it is, and then we get up, we turn around, go back to our seats, and everything's all jolly. But folks, when we go down there, there's no doubt in my mind that God forgives us. There's not, because He says when we ask Him, He'll forgive us. And if He's in your heart, He'll forgive you tonight. But I don't know if you were listening this morning when Brother Ray said what he said about making a vow, but that vow is important to God. And when we use that word repentance or repent to make that 180-degree turn, that turns into a lifestyle. That turns into us doing something that is going to be, it's one of the greatest things. It's a part of the Spirit of God working in you. And when He speaks to you, when He's constantly talking to you, when and you know, I promise you this, if the Spirit of God is constantly talking to you, you got something good going on with God. If the Spirit of God's working in you and talking to you and constantly working in you and you're constantly being spoke to by the Spirit of God, that's a great feeling. That's great to know as a Christian that you're living right, you're doing right. Because when the Spirit's not talking to you, that's when you've got problems. That's when you've got problems. That's when things aren't going right. That's when you and God aren't as close as you should be. That's when your walk with God isn't what it should be. That's when your lifestyle's not what it should be. And that's when we need to come. We need to repent. We need to turn. And we need to live by what God has for us. You know, as saved children of God, we can't be afraid of hearing the Word of God. We can't be afraid of these words that we've heard tonight and applying them to our life. We can't. Because we've got to realize we're a child of God now. We're His. We're His. He's given us a new life. He's given us that turn in our life, that ability to go to Him. And you know, this, I don't know if many of you knew this morning's Sunday school lesson that the children heard. They could probably tell you. I don't know if any of you parents ever ask your children, what did you learn in Sunday school this morning? But this morning's Sunday school lesson was about Saul. And about the obedience of Saul, or the disobedience of Saul. And when he made the sacrifice instead of letting Samuel make the sacrifice, instead of obeying God and doing what God wanted for them. You know, this morning's Sunday school lesson really spoke to me throughout the week because it was great to see how repentant Saul was when he realized that he had disobeyed God. You know, we look at it when we read the story, we're thinking, man, what's so bad about this? What's so bad about that? But you know, he didn't do what God told him to do. And you as God's child, me, and all of us, if you're saved tonight, and you're not obeying God, you're disobeying God. You need to come down, you need to repent, you need to turn, and you need to give all that you have, all of you to the Lord this evening. You need to tell God that you're sorry. You need to turn. And you need to make vows to God that tonight, saying, I'm sorry, God. I give you me and the decisions I have to make. I give you what I want and all that I have. And I lay it down at your feet and I say, Lord, it's yours. Help me with the decisions I have to make. Help me with the lifestyle I have to live. Spirit of God, work in me that I may make the right choices, that I may do all that you want me to do. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7. It says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." And you know, then he promises to take care of, he promises to take care of us physically after this. And the great part of being a child of God is knowing that he's there. That's the greatest part of being a child of God. Besides knowing that heaven's going to be my home, is to know that throughout even the bad times, God's always with me. God loves me. And God, even through the things that the burdens and the trials we have to face, you know, God's there. And he promises that. And look in verse 8, it says, "It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." You know, God loves us. God promises things to us if we do what he wants us to. If we fully obey what his word says, if we live out what he has for us, God promises that he'll take care of us and even bless us more with the lifestyle that we live. You know, because no one else can use this word but a saved person. No other person can apply this to their life but a saved person. You know, this is very serious to God. It's not a thing that we do that makes us feel better, that we come up here and we ask God to forgive us, go back to our seat and everything's okay. It's not that. It's serious. And it's real. And it's something we ought to look at in our lives, and we ought to not be afraid to step out, but to live that. You know, God's not a God. We don't look at him whenever he makes us promises, whenever he tells us that if we do this, he'll do this. And you know what? If God didn't come through with what he said, and when he said, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." You know what? If God didn't come through with what he said, you know, as Christians and as saved people, we're not gonna do what God wants. We're obviously not doing what God wants, because God, every time he promises, he keeps his word, and he's real. He's real to his word, and he promises. You know, when we decide that we're gonna do something, when we get out there, we live that life, we do what we said we were gonna do, we come through with that vow that he'll bless us. It's so great to know that he's there and that he's going to do that. He's going to do that for you. He's going to meet your needs. He's going to bless you. On top of all the hard things you're having to go through, on top of all the burdens and the trials that are going on in your life, he's going to bless you. He promises that. And it's so great because I've seen him do it and I've seen him work. I've seen whenever we keep what we say we're going to do, whenever we use that term, we keep our end of the bargain. When we keep our end of the bargain, God promises and he comes through. He's real to his word. He's honest. And he expects that from us, and we ought to be like that. This is serious to God. It's not just something that we say that we're going to do. It's not just a word that we think we can say over and over and over again, everything's going to be all right. No. It's a lifestyle now. Repentance is remember what I said, it's a verb, it's an action. It's something that we do, it's a lifestyle that we live. And it's something that we've got to be real at. And in Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, I apologize if I'm going to have a lot of verses, but it's going to go quick. I promise. I really promise. Acts 8:22, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. We must trust the Lord at all times. We've got to. We've got to, as we apply that word in our life, as we live that life, as we do what God wants us to do, and we repent from the evil and the iniquity that's in our life, we've got to realize that we've got to trust God. We've got to give God all that we have. All the abilities that are in us, we have to give to God. It's not always easy. It's not always fun. You know, sometimes that's going to be harder than you may think. Young people, kids tonight, as you hear, you know, it's not always easy giving God everything. You know, and in my eyes, when it comes to us giving that given time that we have, when it comes to give it all, you know, that's not always been a problem for me. That really hasn't. And I can see. Sometimes it's easy to give our money sometimes. But have you ever asked God, what can I sacrifice for you? What can I sacrifice that would please you in my life? Spirit of God, tell me. Tell me, what can I do that's going to cause me to sacrifice? And many people tonight, they y'all can sit there and you can say, brother, it's hard for me to crack my wallet and to give it all up on that Sunday. It's hard for me. And believe me, I can understand, because we have needs. And I understand that part. And I understand that you don't realize, and I do. But I'm telling you this, it is so great when you decide to give all and put all of your faith and all of your trust in serving the Lord. And telling God, I'm going to do this. And coming through with your word. And watch him. What he said in Proverbs. That your barns are going to be filled with new wine. He's going to bless you. He's going to give to you. He's going to open doors for you that you've never seen open. He's going to apply things to your life. He's going to give you things in your life that you never expected him to do. And folks, I'm not real good at giving my life testimony, but I'm telling you this. There was one thing in my life that I loved more than anything, and I promise you, it was the hardest thing for me to give up in my life. And I loved, as a child, as a young person, playing baseball. I loved doing that. I loved that in my life, and I got to be pretty decent at it. And you know what? It's so great, as I look back, to know that I gave up all that might have, could have been, and like I said, it just could have been, you know, to God, and to give it up, to give my life, and to tell the Lord, I'm giving you me, and here am I. Use me. I don't have a whole lot besides this, and this ain't gonna get nothing out. But one thing I do have, Lord, is I want to serve you. I want to live for you. I want to please you. I want to make you happy with the decisions I make, with the places I go, with the things that I do, with the words that I say. I want to make you happy with me. And I don't want anybody else. I don't care if anybody else is pleased. And you know, that those are big words. It's when we come to that lifestyle and we say, God, I've given all that I have to you. Now use me. Use me. Apply it to my life. And then that Spirit of God right now and throughout time has spoken to many of your hearts, and he's told you. He said, okay, you gave your life to me, you gave me all that you had. Now I want you to do this. I want you to go here. I want you to be a preacher. I want you to give your life to me so that you can be the right lady or you can be the right helpmeet for the man that I'm going to have for you, and he's going to be a preacher. This man isn't going to be just anybody. He's going to be a special man. He's going to be a man called by me. And things aren't always, like I said, they're not always easy to give up. They're not always easy to let go and say, okay, God, use me. Like I said, the words are real easy to say all up here. But it's when we go to live that word, when we go to trust God, it's when we tell God, I'm going to give you this. Now use me. It's when God says, I want you to be a missionary. To here. Or I want you to be a missionary. And I'm from Texas. I'm proud to be a Texan. I'm proud that my mom and dad lived here all my life. That we've lived in Fort Worth all my life. And I know one thing. If God said, Chad, I want you to be a missionary to Antarctica. I don't know. I look at that and I love the heat. I love it that it's hot. I love that the coldest it's going to get is just below freezing. And I enjoy that about living in Texas. And that's going to be hard. That would be hard. But I know one thing. I know it'd hurt. And it might not be exactly what I'm looking for. But I know one thing. If God said, Chad, I want you to take your family. And I want y'all to go be missionaries up in one of these northern, far out, weird old countries. And it's going to be freezing year round. There ain't going to be no light, but only half of the time. And it's going to be rough. There's going to be times you and your family are going to wonder how you're going to make it by eating. As hard as it may be, I'm going to have to tell God, okay, I'll go. And folks, tonight I'm not getting up here trying to get you to look at me. I'm trying to get you to look at the Lord, and I'm trying to get you to realize that tonight, if our church, I mean many of you tonight, I could probably look in our auditorium and say, all of you were excited when we were having that revival. You were excited about what God was doing. You were just so ready for God to move. And you wanted to see our church grow. You wanted to see things happen. You wanted to see hearts change and lives and people moved. But folks, what are you willing to do for that? What are you willing to do for that? The Spirit of God's speaking to you about something tonight. I know it. I know the Lord's working in here tonight because He's a God that answers my prayer. He's a God that has answered my prayer. And when I prayed and I asked Him to work tonight, I didn't just pray tonight. I've prayed for a while about this. I've prayed asking God that He would use me and use the words that I say. And folks, tonight, He's speaking to us. He's speaking to our church, wanting us to do something, wanting us. And the Spirit of God is speaking to me tonight. And He's asking me to beg folks, that you give tonight, you move tonight, get up out of those seats tonight and give yourself over to the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask tonight, I come to you tonight, Lord, as humble as I know how, like Ray said this morning, Lord, as wicked of a person as I am, Lord, I come to you knowing that you love me and that you care about me. You sent your Son to die for my sins. And I love you, Lord, and I thank you for that. I beg this evening tonight that folks would come to this altar, that folks would give themselves and their hearts and their lives and the decisions that they make and all that they have to you tonight. I beg that of you, Lord. Please, Spirit of God, move. Work in lives, work in hearts. I beg this of you tonight, in Jesus' name, folks, come down to the altar. Use this altar. We don't have this for just no reason. Come down.